Psalm 104, starting at verse 24. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you form to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food and at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my Lord as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But many sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked will be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. The second reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'" The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ comes from the Gospel of John today, from chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked with fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
A blessed Pentecost to you, Barneys. I have the clicker, which I'll try and make work. Slightly shorter than Ben. Only a fraction, only a fraction. So the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly the wind came into the house, and then tongues of fire rested on them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Added to this, we heard that in Jerusalem, a very multicultural city, a diverse crowd formed amid the commotion. And they could all understand one another in their own languages. Everyone's confused. They wonder what's going on. A little later on from our account from Acts this morning, they ask, are these people drunk? What's going on, you know? This is an exciting kind of dynamic scene in which the barriers that divide people are peeled away. And all of God's people can communicate with one another. Barriers are peeled back. Do you know what's on the screen? You know this logo? Some of you, yes. For those of you unfamiliar, this is Duolingo, which is sort of a minor hell that we inflict on ourselves to try and learn another language. It seems that we are constantly paying a little tithe to Duolingo because at some stage, everyone in my household at one time or another is trying to learn another language. A few years ago, we had the opportunity to go to France for a few days. We're only going to be there a short while, but I thought I'll brush up my schoolgirl French. That'll be helpful. Parisians particularly like that. And I practiced Duolingo. I had a really good streak, for those of you who are Duolingo people. Very paranoid about losing my streak, so I was very diligent about all that. Of course, when I got there, the French hated what I had learnt and would say to me very quickly, please speak in English, as is the wont of the French, particularly in Paris. But the impulse to be one with our fellow human beings is strong. I had tried to use Duolingo to peel back the barriers that divided, but I had been somewhat unsuccessful. This is not an ad for Google Translate, but it is a little bit of an ad for Google Translate because it's amazing. Why did I bother trying to learn French is my question now. What a waste of my brain space. Clearly, I'm not a gifted languages scholar. You can use this app, if you don't have it on your phone, it's free. You can use this app to speak, and it will produce text in the native language of the person you're trying to speak to, and you just show it to them. What time is the, you know, which platform is the 4 p.m. train, and you show it to them, and they can read that. The photograph of the lamb with the text underneath it is the Australian lectionary, so that's Korean. It's just what was on my desk when I was preparing to speak to you, the Australian lectionary 2026. So you just, you can do that for menus, for timetables, for everything. You just photograph things or even just hold it up and it will track, but now I'm so blind I need to photograph it and then enlarge it. I can see the younger people thinking, that's for you, old lady. It's coming for you. Your eyesight will suddenly take a sharp turn. My tip is keep Duolingo for the kids, but for the rest of you, get Google Translate. It's free. And if you're a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan, this is basically a Babel fish, it exists now in a really cool way. Perhaps Pentecost was a little more like Eurovision than it is like Duolingo. People heard each other clearly, but from their own context. At Eurovision, there's more movement and light and sound, and that's a better, perhaps, analogy for Pentecost. People are genuinely excited to be together, and it's an expression of international solidarity. But the link does break down fairly quickly because at Eurovision there are limitations. Some people are not allowed into Eurovision. Some countries boycott Eurovision for one reason or another. And voting, as you may know, is very political. Otherwise, Delta would have won, as you all know. But it all gets stitched up outside the deal. We know in Adelaide how blessed we are. We're a bit of a Eurovision kind of a place, really, but perhaps in a more of an Asian tilt. We are multicultural in the way that Jerusalem was in antiquity. If you can imagine Jerusalem, it was a real thumping hive of activity, and you think of all the different people that were named in the Acts reading that Stephen just read for us. It's a real melting pot. If you're in Adelaide and you want the best Vietnamese food, you go to Hanson Road. That is where the very best Vietnamese food is in Adelaide, although everyone says their local bar means the best, but I'm pretty sure this is where the best restaurants are. If you want fantastic Middle Eastern food or Indian food, you probably know Prospect Road, and that sort of area has the best food, but also the kind of shops that are good suppliers. And within the church, here's a picture, the man playing guitar. This is, it used to be called St. Martin's Campbelltown, but it's now called East Torrens Anglicans. But I don't know if you know the inside of that church, where you can see the man playing guitar, but it has a very distinctive, very tall window at the back and a very 60s aesthetic, which I quite like, but it's not everyone's cup of tea. Anyway, super Italian area. You know Campbelltown? Heaps of Italian migrants. So they built a mausoleum, which you can see a photo of there. You would not expect that in an Anglican church, but they have that at Campbelltown because it does super, super well in Campbelltown. Perhaps if you built it here, it wouldn't do quite so well, but it does good trade there. So my point is really that Australia is a Pentecost kind of a place. And it has been true of great cities throughout history, New York, London, Jerusalem in the days after the Ascension. Here's one of the great cities of the world. Are you going to London when you go? Yeah. I was born in London and I spent my early childhood in the absolute centre of London. This is pre my epiphany, which actually happened in Manchester, the one I talked to you about earlier. My family moved around a lot, but my very earliest memories are of living in the very centre of London. And I don't really remember this stuff. I don't remember the Royal Guards or red buses or Big Ben or any of that stuff. The thing I remember most about those years were my best friend next door, Renata, her father, Keith, and her paternal grandmother, Miss Pearl. Miss Pearl did outrageous things. It was completely unlike our house. When you went in there, it smelt different. You know, when you've got a friend from another background and everything's kind of exotic. She did outrageous things like giving us sugar cane to chew on. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking, but as a child who was growing up in the 80s in England and it was all no sugar, everything's brown bread, it was kind of heavenly to be in this other world where we were literally given a stick of sugar to chew on. And she would bake bananas in the oven, which I've never seen done since, or at least not well, but I think they're special kind of bananas. And she would show me generous affection in a Jamaican kind of a way. I don't know if you've known Jamaican people, but it's a very distinctive kind of generosity of physical hugging and just making you feel terribly welcome. And Miss Pearl, I think, has for me become like a character in a great book. And those three people, other than my own family of origin, are London for me. And why not? There are hundreds of thousands of Jamaicans living in London, and most of them were born in the UK. Most of them are English-born Jamaicans, well, English people of Jamaican heritage. Renata in 2026, I imagine, is much more English than I am in 2026 because I am most definitely Australian, and nothing reminds me more of that than when I go to England and think, oh my goodness, I'm so Australian now. The barriers that divide us mean so very little. And in the Pentecost event, we see how God embraces all. Pentecost is regarded, as Ben mentioned, as the birthday of the Christian church and the start of our mission to the world. But in a pluralist society, in a noisy, busy life, how do we get the message about Jesus across in the marketplace of ideas? I'm sure that's exercised your mind more than once. Leslie Newbiggin, a Cambridge scholar, missionary, and eventually a bishop in the Church of South India, wrote a book called The Gospel in a Pluralist Society. He has an elegant answer to what we have to do to spread the message in our plural reality. And he says this. I'll read it to you so you don't have to strain. How is it possible that the gospel should be credible, that people should come to believe that the power which has the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on a cross? I'm suggesting that the only answer, the only hermeneutic of the gospel, is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. I'm, of course, not denying the importance of many activities by which we seek to challenge public life with the gospel: evangelistic campaigns, distribution of Bibles and Christian literature, conferences, and even books such as this one. But I'm saying that all of these are secondary, and that they have power to accomplish their purpose only as they are rooted in and lead back to a believing community. Barneys and every other part of our diocese need to be Christian communities walking our talk. People who break down divides in a way that brings people together. People who are keen to understand more about God, to know what all the colour and noise is about. We need communities that are pleased to see a newcomer in his 80s with disabilities or hear a newborn interrupt the sermon. We always should be ready to be interrupted by children. Or who are we going to hand this faith on to? Here they come. When we care about people and glorify God's holy name, where we love our neighbours as ourselves and are open to all the people of God's earth. Bishop Brad and I have been talking, and this year I intend to spend more of my Episcopal ministry working in the multicultural space to support the diocese as we try to speak to all God's children in Adelaide. We can all have a caricature of who we think we are and who we think the church is, but can I say we have congregations in this diocese of hundreds of South Sudanese-born worshippers in the Anglican tradition. I went to one service at the end of last year where I confirmed 44 young people in one service. There are significant multicultural ministries happening in Adelaide, and there need actually to be more. We need to be able to reach everybody with the message of God's love for them. But for today, Barneys, it is enough to be God's church, to be Anglicans in Croydon. It's enough that you're a congregation of men and women who believe the gospel and live by it. That will be a beacon. And it's a way for you to show the credibility of the gospel. And I thank God for you and for all you do. A blessed Pentecost to you, Barneys. Let's take a minute or two now to reflect on what God may be saying to you, and perhaps broadly to this community, as we celebrate Pentecost 2026.